I was born in a small town called Masjid Suleiman in southern Iran.
I was born in Syria.
I was born in Hamburg, Germany.
I was born in Korea.
I was born in Tanzania in a refugee camp.
I was born in Singapore.
Guatemala.
I'm from Ireland.
I was born in Thailand refugee
camp. I was born in Mumbai.
I was born in Vientiane, Laos.
I was born in England.
I was born in Costa Rica.
Welcome to Many Roads to Here, bringing the voices of immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers to a national conversation about migration and identity. Before the sun rose, she was already walking, through forests, towards fields, towards water, towards school, towards something she couldn't yet name. Born in 2001 in Nyarugusu refugee camp in northwestern Tanzania to parents who fled the war in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Jeanette Muibi carried the weight of generations of women whose dreams were quieted before they could ever take shape. But even then, deep within her, something shifted. A voice. A spark. A sense that her life could follow another path. This is a story about breaking free from what's expected. About falling. And falling hard. And still choosing to rise as she fights to become the woman she was always meant to be. I'm your host, Naomi Bone. And today, I invite you to walk alongside Jeanette.
And so I do remember when my mom, my grandmom, we would get up before the sun and we would walk and walk and walk what felt like hours. By the time we got there, there's so much to do. There's a big field and you have very little tools, but somehow these women, they know how to do it. They know they have such great strength. Yeah, so we had sombe, we had peanuts, corn, tomatoes, just different things, but definitely sombe was a must. The matembele was a must. Balengalenga was also a must. We ate a lot of vegetables, to say the least. Well, it was a way of survival. I mean, there was a way that my family stayed afloat, and raising our own crops was an important thing that was needed to be done. And it was a privilege for each family to be able to have their own field, obviously, to raise their own food. And it was a way for them to even bring money into the family.
In the dim hours before dawn, she would walk alongside her grandmother and the other woman through the dense forest. Together, they tended the family's fields, turning the soil with bare hands and few limited tools. But as Jeanette grew, she began to notice something. The weight these women carried wasn't just from their labor in the fields. There was an unspoken struggle, a cycle she was beginning to understand.
I was raised by a lot of women, actually. My grandmom, my aunt, and a few other aunties. So I was around a lot of women. And it was quite devastating to see their dreams cut short. Most of them had the opportunity to go to school, but not all had the chance to actually finish. And that was for different reasons. I know specifically for my mom, her story, she longed to pursue her dreams, but didn't get the opportunity to finish those dreams. And there are other reasons that are beyond my comprehension. You know, being married, it was a big part of a woman's life. Once you reach a certain age, you are expected to be married. And for my mom, she had me very young, actually. She had me when she was 18. To be honest, marriage was something that every child desired. Like, it was your dream when you're young to be married. You fantasize what it's like to be the mother of the house. You fantasize about all these things, and you don't really get to have the chance to think beyond that. I did see myself getting married. I never really envisioned myself even finishing high school or even going to college. I never thought of that. It just never occurred to me then. For every young lady, it's a dream. It's a privilege. You are honored. If you are a married woman, you are given honor and respect. It's a status. That is something that everyone wanted. And I wanted that for myself too.
But Jeanette also dreamed of going to school.
I do also remember seeing the other kids wearing a uniform. And the uniform was a white t-shirt. And for the men would wear navy blue trousers. And for the ladies, they would wear the navy blue skirts. I really wanted to dress like that and have my own book bag and go to school. Oh my God. That was like a dream for me. Before anyone can go to school, there was this rule, which I still can't make sense of. You would have to stand and then take your right arm, go over your ear. And if you can touch your ear, then you can start school. And so I, as a child, that was very important to me. I really wanted to be able to prove that I was ready, that I can touch my ear. It sounds very silly now, but that was a very big goal that I had when I was a kid. The days that I could go to school, my God, those were the best days. Although when you're in school, there are a lot of conditions. Often the classrooms are cramped and you would have to sit in these chairs and all four of you guys would try to squeeze in. You only get like very little supplies, one pencil, and you had to scrape the pencil on the side of a rock to sharpen it. Oh God, yeah. I mean, school at the time for me was a privilege. It was a dream just to be able to be in a classroom and be able to be with the other kids.
What Jeanette didn't know was that behind the scenes, her family had been quietly applying for asylum somewhere far away from the war. For decades, Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo had been plagued by violence, especially after the 1994 Rwandan genocide. Rebel groups like M23, a Tutsi-led militia, have clashed with the Congolese army over land, ethnic tensions, and control of the rich minerals in the east. Citizens had paid the price. According to the Council on Foreign Relations, more than 7 million people have been forced from their homes since 1996, and the war has ever since claimed the lives of approximately 6 million. Jeanette's family, like many others, had no choice but to flee to a refugee camp. However, when she was 9 years old, it happened. Their application was approved. They were going to America.
I'm going to America. Like, that is everyone's dream. It's a life-changing news. It's the land of opportunity where we are told money grows on trees, where we are told the streets are gold, where we're told there's endless amount of food. So hearing the fact that you're going to America, it's almost like you're almost going to heaven. Serious.
Jeanette's family arrived in the U.S. in 2010, settling in Boise, Idaho, where her uncle lived. But when she got there, the streets weren't exactly paved with gold. Instead, they felt like the beginning of yet another uphill climb. She didn't speak a word of English, and everything felt unfamiliar. But on her first day of school, there's one thing she didn't have to do: walk for miles. Instead, a big yellow school bus pulled up in front of her home, ready to take her to class.
And so coming here, there's a bus that picks you up, makes sure that you go to school, you are safe, there's breakfast, lunch provided, and even snacks. Oh, the first day of school, like, I was so amazed having my own cubby where they gave me a space to put all my things away. I had my own desk, my own books, my own pencils, my own chair. It felt amazing. It was such a blessing for me. So the fact that this was a free opportunity where I had so many resources available to me, I told myself, I'm going to pursue this education because I knew the amount of prayers that I had prayed when I was a kid to have this opportunity, and the amount of prayers that other people are praying for this opportunity that they will never have. And I get this chance to give myself the gift of a future, of a tomorrow. I made a promise to myself that I'm going to do my very best. I knew it was going to be hard. I didn't know any English. I didn't know anything about anything. But I knew that I needed to give myself this chance because it meant something to me. It meant something to my family and to the women in my family who never had this chance. It was a personal thing. I know where I come from. I know the struggles that I have gone through. I know the struggles that my family have gone through. And the fact that I get to have this, I get choices, I get to choose who I want to be. It's a privilege. Education is a privilege.
At that moment, she made a silent promise to herself. She would excel in school, no matter what. She would pursue an education. For the first time, she saw a glimpse of something bigger, a future beyond the path the woman her family had always walked. And in her heart, she knew. This was her way to break the cycle. Then, in 2013, another change happened. She moved to Portland and enrolled at George Middle School.
When I moved here, I was very fluent and I was very confident. I interpreted for my mom and I used my skills to advocate for my siblings and help them with their homework. Being firstborn, you know, you get that drop. I knew that I really wanted to graduate out of the ESL classes. I think it came from a position of shame because I didn't want to be not fluent in English. I really want to be able to prove to myself and to others that I can speak English. And sometimes even to some teachers just looked down on you and didn't believe in you as a student who spoke a second language. And because I am in this ESL classes and you think that I'm not capable of articulating my thoughts, I'm going to prove to you that I can graduate from ESL classes. That was my motivation, to prove everyone else wrong.
By the time Jeanette started Roosevelt High School, she had already tested out of English as a second language class, a milestone for many immigrant students. But for Jeanette, it wasn't a finish line. It was just the beginning. She pushed herself even further. She enrolled in advanced placement courses, classes designed to challenge even the most prepared students. It wasn't about proving something to others. She was chasing something bigger.
So I grew up in North Portland, the St. John's area. Roosevelt High School was an amazing school. I had great mentors, great teachers. I made some great friends as well. And I still had the same goal, which is I need to push myself beyond my comfort zone. And I had decided to look into AP classes, mostly because I knew that it was going to give me some good college credits. At every point in my life, I was trying to figure out how to be one step ahead. And so I was thinking already about college by the time that I was in high school. I took AP English. I took it on not because I wanted to, you know, I just wanted to prove to myself that I can. I remember doing poorly at the beginning because I was a very timid and scared child. I had a lot of confidence, but at that point, I was facing something that was bigger than me. I was required to read so many books. I was required to do this, this, that. And that was when I felt like I wanted to give up. I found myself in this room with students who were super smart. And there I was feeling like I was inferior, that I was not competent enough. I became very inward. I became shy. I didn't ask questions. And that's not me normally. I'm the kind of person that I would ask a lot of questions, that I would express myself, that I would try to challenge my understanding, which is how I learned. But in this environment, I felt intimidated. That's when I decided, okay, how am I going to turn this around? And that's how I started to make friends with my other students. They're smart, but also I'm smart too. And I had to realize that I'm equally qualified to be in that room. I started to meet with different teachers to help me. And at the end of it, that's when I felt confident. And the next year, I took a few other AP classes.
But Jeanette's high school experience wasn't defined by academics alone.
So I loved being involved in extracurricular activities. I found myself being in different clubs, whether it's during my lunchtime or after school. I don't know how I still managed to do it all. Because by the time I get home, I'm still expected to be big sister. But I did enjoy all the activities that I participated in. They built my confidence. They gave me a skill that, as an adult now, I truly value. Being able to recognize my strength, being able to communicate. One of my favorite ones, obviously, was with Renee Mitchell. She is a great friend of mine and helped me so, so much. She, at the time, was the only Black teacher at Roosevelt High School. I fell in love with her. She's a very genuine person who really wanted the best for me, advocated for me, and saw my strengths and gave me great opportunities to express myself and my talents. I really loved art and speaking engagements and just being able to share my story with other students and other teachers as well.
At Roosevelt, Renee Mitchell has started a lunchtime program called Black Girl Magic, where she brought in accomplished Black women from the community to speak with students. Jeanette soaked it all in, listening closely, absorbing the stories, the wisdom, and the power of seeing women who look like her thriving.
Yeah, I mean, there are many, but one of my favorites that I still remember today was when we had the different Black women professionals come and visit our high schools. The stories that were shared and the lessons that they had learned and shared with us, the wisdom that was passed on, has helped me even as an adult now. And I was inspired by the fact that someone can come from a very difficult background, but they can still be somebody in life. I met these women. They were incredible. They were doctors. They were engineers. They were professors. They were amazing, amazing, amazing women. I felt inspired by their story. And I told myself, I want to be like these women. I want to be self-assured in who I am. I want to be a leader in my community. And I want to change my community. I was very inspired by their audacity, to question and to lead, you know.
At Roosevelt High School, there was a wall that recognized students who had achieved scholarships. For Jeanette, it was a roadmap, a beacon, which proved that students like her, first generation, belonged in those spaces too. The wall showed Jeanette what was possible.
I don't remember how far back it goes, but I do remember seeing some people who had graduated from Roosevelt High School who were already at university, and I saw their names on there. I'm like, oh my God, I know this person. But I felt so inspired. I wanted my name on that wall. No one could tell me nothing. I really wanted my name on that wall. And I use it as a resource to be able to look up the scholarships as well and see if I qualify. I was obsessed. I was so obsessed. And so I had a notebook. And if I saw someone who I recognized, I'll be like, well, I know this person. We share similar stories. If this person can get it, I can get it too. I wrote all the names of the scholarships that I felt like would be a good fit for me. Then I would look them up or I would ask the counselor, tell me more about this, or, you know, how do I get in? How do I get the scholarship? I was so motivated because I can't afford college. And I've been told by other students that if you are determined, you can do it. And so I knew that I was qualified. I just had to be committed to the process. I found many scholarships from that wall that I ended up getting. And one of the biggest ones was the Beat the Odds. They were looking for first-generation students who were going to pursue any degree. And they were looking for other things. But I knew I was qualified. And I knew that I could prove to them that I am the right person. I remember the process of writing my personal statement, how I relived my story. I remember how personal that process was. I remember the day that I got the scholarship, how I cried. And it meant so much to me. It meant so much to me. The day of the award, I was so proud. I remember it. It's such a beautiful beautiful moment that I'm so grateful and the support that I received from the people that helped me to get the scholarship.
Her work paid off. Jeanette earned several scholarships that made it possible for her to attend Portland State University. At just 18, she was the first woman among her relatives to pursue higher education.
The joy, that's all I can say is joy. I remember just my family being there for me, honoring me and celebrating me. I remember crying. I cried so much, tears of joy. And afterwards, being surprised, they threw me a graduation party. I was so happy to see so many community members there, so many people. I'm like, wow, this actually means a lot. I didn't realize how important it was to everyone else. In a way, it was not just my achievement. It was the achievement of everyone in my community. It meant something to them, like our child graduated. In my community, when you're referring to someone's child, you don't say so-and-so's child. You say mtoto wetu, our child. Yeah. So, yeah, I remember it was such an honor.
For the first time, she stood on the edge of something new, feeling like a young woman finally stepping into her own power, ready to break the cycle that had shaped generations before her. But just as her future began to open up, everything changed.
Everything was perfect. I had the scholarships. I was enrolled. I had everything ready. I felt independent. I had great professors who supported me and helped me. And I felt like, wow, this is easy. I got this. Obviously, I had some classes that I struggled with, but given that I was already familiar with asking for help, I knew the process. You know, I went to the library and I met with different tutors who helped me a lot. I worked so hard to get to this point. And it didn't just start at high school. It started the moment that I came to the U.S. I had a dream and a promise that I made to myself, and I was devoted. So that year, I was sexually assaulted and later found myself pregnant. And I had to decide, what am I going to do? Like, will I still continue with school? Am I going to drop out? I had to think about my future, not just my immediate, but, you know, my life. And I had to also consider the goal and the plan and the dream that I was working towards.
It was her first year of college, and everything she was working towards felt very distant.
I wasn't doing so well. I had good professors who were willing to work with me and to help me finish, because I was, you know, towards the end of a semester. I can't continue on school if I'm not in the right set of mind. And so that's when I had decided to take a semester off, to just situate myself. I didn't know where I'll be tomorrow. I had this perfect plan. Now I'm questioning everything. At this point, not even sure, will I have a future?
Jeanette had always dreamed of breaking the cycle, of becoming something more than the woman she saw growing up. But suddenly, she had become the woman she feared. The one who leaves school early, who sacrifices her dreams to keep everything together. The woman who becomes invisible. Faced with the hardest decision of her life, Jeanette chose a different path. She decided to have an abortion, not out of fear, but out of resolve.
I knew that I wanted to continue on. Like, I just felt like I was not sure enough of myself, which is what led me to decide to have an abortion. I'm still so young. I'm still growing. And I still have so much life to live. I still have so much to learn. Not just about life, but also about myself. And I wanted to give myself the chance to grow and to live. And that was because I knew that I didn't want to be like the women in my family. I wanted to give myself that chance. And that's because I had the choice too. Most of them didn't have that choice. But the fact that I did, it meant that I could choose differently if I wanted. I still wanted to pursue myself. I'm not trying to be the next president, but I'm just trying to be a person with the choice to live life on my own terms. And that's something that not everyone had, but I did.
Growing up in a family grounded in deep faith, Jeanette knew this truth would be the hardest to share. Telling her mother wasn't just difficult. It was devastating.
It was very tense. And my mom was so proud of me. So proud of me. The fact that I was her daughter and that I was doing so good. And how dare I commit such sin or ever put myself in this situation? So I think disappointment was how she was feeling at the time. I intentionally avoided talking to her about it until I felt like I needed to, because I knew what she would say or I knew how she would react.
When Jeanette told her mother, the disagreement quickly escalated into something that couldn't be undone. And just like that, she was no longer welcome at home.
It was a very difficult decision because I knew how it would affect not just me, but also my siblings. Mind you, I come from a very cultural background where we have way of living, of how we do things. And your daughter just moving out, it's not acceptable. The only reason she would have is if she were to get married and to leave to be with her husband and to build her own home. And so the fact that I was leaving for other reasons, it was a shame. It's something that I have to do, no matter how it makes me look. There are other things that led to that moment, but leaving was something that I had decided personally that would be the best thing for me.
It was spring of 2020. The world had just come to a standstill, shut down by a global pandemic. Jeanette was just 19. No home, no safety net. Suddenly, she was faced with the unthinkable, homelessness. But in that moment of crisis, someone stepped in. Abby, a family friend who had coached her younger brother in soccer, had become a quiet, steady presence in Jeanette's life. Someone she could trust. When everything else fell away, Abby opened her door, and Jeanette found shelter.
I met her through my brother. She was a soccer coach and worked with my younger brother for a long time. I felt safe and comfortable talking to her, which is why I felt comfortable to tell her my heaviest burdens. I stayed with her family after I had moved out for a while, then moved to PSU University Housing.
She thought of all the women who had visited her in the Black Girl Magic program, women who spoke not as victims, but as survivors. They had endured their own challenges, but they were still able to transform their lives and lead with purpose. Jeanette saw herself in them. Maybe she had a chance, a way out.
These women also went through their own challenges that broke them dearly, and they felt like they couldn't go on. Thinking about their experiences and the fact that I saw myself in that same position where I felt like maybe this is my fate, maybe this is what's meant to be. But I still remember, just because these women have gone through different situations, they didn't let that break them down. They still decided to pursue themselves and to pursue their passions. In the process, they've become change makers. And I realized I don't have to be bound to my situation. I can decide who I want to be regardless of what I'm going through, because life happens to everyone. I can still be who I want to be. I'm not going to wallow in my depression. I'm not going to surrender to this feeling of being lifeless. I want to bloom out of this. I want to see myself smile and be happy. And so I had to decide, what does happiness mean to me? And how will I cultivate this joy that I once had and that I see other people experience? I want the same for myself. Journaling has helped me. At the time, I really journaled a lot of my feelings, my experiences. I went back to reading my Bible, the Word of God, that helped me and grounded me and reminded me who I am. And slowly, I grew out of the feeling of being shame. When I created the journal, I put together the pages that I had used all throughout the years that helped me to be able to find balance again and be able to found grounding. And I launched a journal, which then led to the support group, which we met monthly. And we had different activities that we did that brought us together and different conversations on mental health, being an immigrant, being African, and being a woman, creating space for people to share and to be able to talk and to feel connected. That's something that has been of value to a lot of people. And having a sense of community that sees you and values you and gives you resources to overcome different challenges.
When she returned to school, it wasn't with hesitation, but with clarity. She was ready to reclaim her path, determined to break the cycle and chase the future she still believed in.
Well, my goal was to graduate. I felt this sense of motivation that I can do it. I went back to school spring of that same year. At that time, it was already 2021. I was making sure that if I need help, I'm going to reach out. And so I was connected to the Women's Center. They had great resources, great counseling resources too. I received a lot of help from different people. I did different jobs. I work with CAIRO, Center for African Immigrant Refugee Organization. They're located here in Portland. And that was one of my favorite jobs that I did. I worked with students at different levels. I worked with elementary, I worked with middle school and high school. My role was a cultural navigator to just make sure that the families have support, the students have support. You know, when I was in high school, I had different people with the job that I was doing then who would come to Roosevelt, and they made sure that we had resources and we were doing well in class, and if we needed to make up something, that would help us. It was a full circle moment because I felt so grateful for the support that I had from the people that helped me when I was in school. And so it felt good to be able to do that for other students. After CAIRO, I went to AFHO, African Family Holistic Health Organization. I was trained as a doula. I was actually inspired to be a doula by someone that I met at one point in high school. They were a midwife, and I didn't know much about a doula, but I felt connected to the work, and I felt called to being a doula. This is the best job I've had. It feels closer to what I want to do in the future. I work within maternal health as a case manager and program coordinator for the maternal health organization. I serve African pregnant women. Most of these women, they are refugees who just relocated to the country, don't have anything and are in need of resources. And so helping them stabilize and meet their needs is a very important job. I went through an abortion and I had very little knowledge about the resources that are available to me. And my journey through the abortion, actually after just the grief that I went through, I've never experienced anything like that before. So I don't know if it's connected, but as a doula, I mean, I have different clients, of course, and there is highs and lows in motherhood and parenthood generally. And just being there for someone, I think, I think that's where the connection comes in.
In June of 2024, Jeanette graduated with a degree in public health studies and a minor in child, youth, and family studies. It wasn't just a graduation. It allowed for reconciliation with her mom, from a relationship once strained, now being quietly mending as her family beamed with pride for her.
I graduated in a bachelor's in public health studies and a minor in child, youth, and family studies. Oh my God, I was so happy. I worked so hard for that degree. I felt so proud of myself. The day of my graduation, I will never forget that day. How I just cried after. I was so happy, like walking down the stage. And the moment that I left the stage, it felt so real. I just felt this feeling, I just couldn't hold it in, and, you know, hugging my family and being embraced and celebrated. I don't know, I worked so hard for that moment. It was the best feeling in the world. For me, I mean, I call it a family curse. It sounds very, very tense, but that's what it is. All our dreams are cut short. How can you explain that? And the fact that I was able to accomplish something that has never been done, something that I dreamed of for so long. I was so proud. I cried. That's all I could do. I cried that day so much because I realized how far I've come to achieve this goal. And it wasn't just like, you know, my own achievement. It was the achievement of my family members too, and other people too in my community who might have never had the chance but believed in me. And it's an achievement that meant a lot for everyone. I'll start my graduate program at OHSU this fall. I will be pursuing public health, community health promotion. It's the same career path which I had pursued in my undergrad. I feel drawn to this work, and I want to pursue this work, maybe even in maternal health, because I love it so much. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what I will concentrate in, but I know I have fallen in love with maternal health and working with African women, Black women.
Jeanette is now in her second year at Oregon Health and Science University, pursuing her master's in public health. With her sights set on a PhD, she continues to honor the women who came before her by building a future they only dreamed of. Many Roads to Here is a production of The Immigrant Story. This episode was produced by me, Naomi Bone, with audio editing by Jack McDonald and post-production by Greg Palmer. The original interview was conducted by our executive producer, always endearing Sankar Raman, at Portland Community College's Southeast Campus Library in the fall of 2024. This episode was made possible through a generous contribution from the Zeidel Family Foundation. To hear more stories like Jeanette's, please visit theimmigrantstory.org/many roads. Listen live at prp.fm or find us wherever you get your podcasts.